There was a family throwing a big party, and they realized suddenly that they were about to run out of wine. They realized they didn't have enough. And so the father, in a panic, decided to trust his oldest son. Look, come here. Okay, you're 19 now. You are able to go buy wine at the store. Could you just run over and get it? But the son was in a panic. I've never done this before. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know how much to get or what to do. Look, it's not hard. This is not a big deal. Just go get enough for everyone here. We don't want to run out. Just get enough. And he wouldn't listen to any more objections, and the son went off. And then he made his fatal mistake. He said, "Here's my credit card." "No problem, Dad." He saw the son returning, driving, and behind him was a delivery truck. "What have you done?" "Well, I got 1,000 bottles of wine. I wanted to make sure there was enough that we didn't run out. Enough for everyone. An abundance for this celebration that you're throwing." "It was 6 stone jars of water," it says right in the scripture, we heard it read for us, 20 to 30 gallons, which is 80 to 120 liters, and there were 6 of those. We are talking about 500 to 700 liters of wine. Now, I don't know how big Cana was, but it wasn't that big. This should have been enough wine for them. Was this a rookie mistake on Jesus' part? I kind of wonder if maybe later on the disciples, you know, could be ribbing Jesus. Like, you know, the miracles you do are incredible, but you never seem to quite get the quantities right. Remember that time with the bread? There were like basketfuls that we had to deal with afterwards. And that wine, 700 liters of wine. And Jesus may have said, "Look, I've never been to a wedding before. How was I supposed to know how much wine to make?" I doubt the author was using this precious space in the gospel just to use it as a lighthearted moment. Jesus meant to do this extravagant thing. John carefully chose this sign to be the first sign of all of Jesus' ministry. There are only 7 signs in all of John. Of all the miracles that we know Jesus performed, only 7 are included in John, and this is the first one. And each sign is meant to help us know God and to know how God works. This is one of the reasons Jesus came to earth, to reveal the glory of God to us, to everyone. Because deep down, every human being longs to know God and longs to know that God loves them, that God likes them. But as humans, we always struggle to recognize God's presence in our world, in our daily activities. And so Jesus gave us signs. This first sign was about an amount of wine that was abundant and excessive. Their wine was gone. The cupboards were bare. Their jars were empty and dry. And Jesus filled them. Jesus showed anyone who was paying attention that when your heart is suddenly full of thanks and joy, that is God's presence. That is God at work in your life. At the wedding party, some noticed and right away they gave thanks. And others believed in Jesus. When this happens in our life, when we notice something good that has suddenly come in, this is the work of God. We stop ourselves and we say thank you in prayer to God. And in that moment, we grow a little bit closer in connection to our Creator. And if we keep doing this day after day, over time, we will get better and better at noticing all of the good that surrounds us. Because creation was blessed and called good. And so it is full of God's goodness and God's abundant blessing. And we will get better and better at noticing that God is always there, that God loves us. Secondly, with this sign, Jesus was taking what was a mess and transforming it into a blessing. This is also a way of recognizing the presence of God. Jesus took one thing, water, and changed it into another thing, into wine, as the first sign of what his ministry would be all about. Now, maybe you wouldn't describe your life as a mess, but maybe there is someone here who privately feels that way. Regardless of how you feel, every last one of us needs to be transformed. Most of us know it's to some degree, it's somewhere in ourselves that we need to change. I mean, we don't always get it quite right. Now, sometimes we refuse to admit that. Sometimes we refuse to even consider it. But nonetheless, this is the truth for all humanity, for every human. Now, perhaps Jesus chose to perform this sign of transforming one thing into another at a wedding because God often uses marriages to transform people through the days and weeks of really getting on each other's nerves. Certainly, we especially are made aware of our need to be changed in our closest relationships. Because love nudges us to be more lovable. People in a relationship are challenged to be a better friend, to be a better son or daughter, to be a better father or mother, to be a better spouse. When someone loves us, we are challenged to love and to be changed in response. We're not just talking about human relationships, because one of Jesus' friends put it this way: we love because God first loved us. God initiates the human search for change through love. First and foremost, in all of the love that you experience in your life, it is God's love. It is God who loves you. Turn today to God. Put your life in God's hands and allow God to transform you. The third, Jesus chose a wedding for his first sign. This was a sign that all marriages are to be a sign of God's love for other humans and for all creation. And so Paul wrote these words: "For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I am applying it to Jesus and the church." This is the first Sunday of Advent. We look back and remember that Jesus came and was born on earth. There's no debating that. But we, as believers, are also convinced that one day Jesus will come again. And elsewhere in Scripture, John described that day when Jesus returns visibly to the earth. He described it as a wedding. God will come and live with humanity on earth. We will be loved intimately, and we will love intimately in return. And so weddings are sometimes described as a celebration of love. But until the day of Jesus Christ's return, it is more helpful to think of the wedding as a celebration of our vows, of promises, and of covenant. First and foremost, God is the one who makes promises and keeps them. God has promised to deal with evil. God has promised to hold humanity accountable when we refuse to change. God has promised to deal with death once and for all. God has promised to save creation. God has promised to walk with us and to love us to the end of our lives. And God promised all of this in the very beginning, knowing full well that humans would not be able to keep their side of the promise. God would love, but God would be rejected. God would love and God would watch what he loved destroy itself over and over again, over thousands of years. And so God's vow was unimaginably bold and came from a depth of love that we cannot comprehend. Jesus chose a wedding for this first sign of abundant blessing, of transformation, to show that God makes promises because of love, and that therefore God celebrates when we too are moved by our love to make bold promises, to love and to serve another person. Rob and Tiffany, you are making one kind of vow this morning. But all of us here, all of us, whether we like it or not, we are given opportunities every day to be moved by love and to make a promise to serve and to love someone another, no matter what it costs us. And God celebrates when we boldly promise to love, even though we know so much can go wrong and we can end up deeply hurt, completely frustrated. God has been the one who loves in this way since the dawn of human history. We love because God first loved us. So take notice of the good in your life, and those moments when your heart is filled with gladness, and know that in those moments God is near, watching and listening, and give thanks to God. Remember that there remain things that must change in you until the day that you die, and that God is the one who can bring about this transformation. And pray attention to whom God might be calling you to commit, to care for, and to serve. But do all of these things knowing that God has vowed never to leave you or to forsake you, to love you no matter what. May this Advent season be a season of your love being renewed for God and for others and for this world. May it be a season of you seeking after the presence of God and finding in God the one who created you and loves you as you are. Amen.